Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
All right, bro. Game week two just ended a few hours ago. We're looking down the barrel at game week three. What's your vibe?
Oh, you know, great vibes. Just classic, doing great early as usual, and overthinking everything as usual, and being a nightmare as usual. So,
man, wow, I did not expect the darkness, I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a little dark, a little bit.
Semi-dark.
Well, I haven't looked at my team that much, and now that I am, then it's like remembering how I fucking did not Captain Kuhn like an idiot.
It's like butterfly effect triggering to like different times in your life when bad things happened.
How are you doing?
I had a solid week. I had 79 points. Another one of those things where like everyone in Slack is on fucking like 90 plus points, and I'm like, God, I did terribly. And then I look at the averages and top 10K net average is 82.3. So guys who did game week one are still flying. And then the overall net average is 59.1, and I got 79. So nice green arrow. I basically cut my rank in half. So very pleased with that. I'm up to 659K. It was a weird week because on Saturday I went like down 300K, and then Sunday I went up 500K, even without Captain Kuhn just owning him and Mendy. And then after today, I went up another like almost 500K, so it's good. Yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, the most annoying part of my team by far has to be De Gea. I mean, he's just sitting on like 4 total points on the season. Meanwhile, like Allison and Ederson, the only guys I considered all preseason, are just each sitting on 13, just having fun at the top, and I just feel like such a fucking idiot. United are such shit. We both have Jota. That soup is long spoiled, just fucking mold, disaster soup. We both have already transferred him out. Sneak preview. Lucas doing stuff. I mean, classic, like, FML field fashion. He misses the sitter that's crossed in from Davis, which would have been a nice assist for me, and then he just scores the unassisted worldie and just like life on earth. But yeah,
getting a goal from your player must suck, dude.
What?
Getting a goal from your player must suck.
I'm just bitter. Like, someone was asking me about Davis earlier in Slack, and he has the actual highest expected assists in the league through 2 games, and obviously no assists, actual assists on the season. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. He's still good. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I had a good week. Captain Mo obviously didn't come in at Kuhn levels, but I own Kuhn, and we both do, and so that's fine, and yeah,
There's just 11 in it.
Yeah, mostly happy with my team though.
Yeah, good job by you.
Good job by you. What about you?
I finished up on 70 at 564K, which I mean, 2 game weeks in is acceptable. Yeah, defense is doing the job for me, but it was just the, you know, that Guardian article and then the mass hysteria, and I consulted my you and a couple others and just came to the conclusion sticking on Kuhn was too risky, so obviously Eriksen decided to step up for 2 points. In hindsight, it's just feels just like the feels. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just pure darkness.
I mean, you know, it's on Salah no matter what for me, like except for when they play Palace, which then happened to coincide. And obviously on the pod last week, I was on Kuhn literally all week. I hadn't even thought about it. And then that bullshit came out on Friday, and I went into complete hysterical panic mode, like talking to my wife, talking to my dog, and anyone that would listen and not judge me harshly. And then Eriksen just,
yeah,
I don't know, dude, what he's up to. The stats are still like somewhat there, but I just saw the game as goals because Fulham are trash defensively, and they scored 3. They have 5 goals on the season, and Eriksen's got no involvement. It's improbable. He's still getting shots and creating chances. It's just not happening for him, and the captaincy felt bad. I lost a lot of points on it. I mean, 18 points is, I don't even want to think about where I'd be if I had 18 more points.
But. I feel like this is one of the first times that your rule of not capping against palaces has come back to bite you.
Yeah, usually it's not a problem. Yeah. I am like around neutral or 1 or 2 point difference. It's never really been a problem.
Yeah.
But the problem is it shouldn't have bitten me. It should have came in with 11 more points. Fucking was a little weak asshole on Friday, and I just trusted some Twitter bullshit.
Like, although I got to say, it's such a pet peeve of mine when people, like obviously everyone who Captain Coon on Twitter and like Reddit and shit is just like, oh, yeah, it was obvious, like, Captain Coon, like, don't trust, like, Guardian, like, Twitter, like, go fuck yourself. Like, that's a little bit of hindsight, I would say. Like, it easily could have been the other way around, and Coon is benched or subs on and plays 10 minutes and, like, whatever, you know? I don't think it was, like, using the information we had, I don't think it was, like, a diabolical decision. I just think sometimes that's fucking how FPL goes. Like we said in preseason, captaincy is like a lot of luck behind it, you know, and this time it just went the wrong way for you.
Thanks for trying to cheer me up, buddy.
I'm just being honest.
No, I hear. No, that's
why
logical, but
I never considered not being on Salah. Like, I was just like, there's no risk, and he returns every game. Like, it's, that's what I want for my captain is consistency, and that's part of the reason Salah was so special. Like, he had a few huge games last year in terms of like just like mega hauls, but mostly it was just he actually returns every fucking week, and that's just a good thing.
Yeah, and we'll get there back to cap, but you see again, obviously Coon had 20 points this week, but you see the inherent risk with throwing cap around on a City player. Raz played 0 minutes.
Exactly.
They could have 60 games this season, and he's going to have to mix and match and keep his players fresh. So Aguero will be on the bench some games in the next few. There's just no question about it. Or maybe one or two. I don't know how, you know, in the next month,
yeah,
or 2 months, and you know, it comes with the territory there. So
it's just one of those things. You look back, and some people get lucky and play it perfectly right, and not cap Coon when he's benched, whatever. But for the most part, it'll end up being like probably around net equal average. If like I'm capping Salah every week, and Coon gets benched 1 week when people captain him, and Salah returns, then it'll, you know, it'll combat everything that happened this week. It's an interesting thing, though.
Yeah, we'll talk more, I guess, for captains next week on it. But yeah, I mean, other than the captaincy fail, my team I like a lot. I think this is the most happy I've been with my team after two game weeks, yeah. I think, since I've started playing, maybe. The defense just has been carrying me. The main issues on my team are obviously Eriksen and Ozil, both who have yet to return through two game weeks, which when everyone else like Mane and whoever the fuck are all returning for fun. But I still think they're great medium and long-term picks. I mean, Ozil obviously didn't get him for the first two game weeks, so we'll see where he is, you know, at the end of game week 8 or so. Hopefully he's going to be up there, and that's going to pay off. And, you know, and then Jota was just disaster. The points that we lost going Jota instead of Richarlison was significant.
What a joke. Oh, yes. My God.
I mean, that's just classic us classic overthinking, us trying to find the trendy guy that no one's on and shit like that. I mean, he was still reasonably on, but it was just overthinking it to a T. And then, yeah, I mean, Arnie and Coon look great. So, you know, I did Jota out. We'll talk about that later. And, you know, team's looking okay.
Yeah, the heavy defense we absolutely fucking nailed. So I hope you listeners followed us into that path, because it's good.
Yeah, and it's also just like Ederson and Alisson. That's, I think, the most typifying point, because I still saw 75% of other people outside of Slack and the fantasy communities going with like dueling 4-5s or 8-5, and you know, they both are 2 and 3 in the top scores of goalkeeper behind Etheridge with all the pen saves every game. But
yeah, it's why I went to De Gea. It's just like nailed like good points, you know, just like top 16 Mourinho defense, like, yeah, good shit, you know.
Getting that spine of just trickling in points from the goalkeeper position goes a long way.
I know. I'm so jealous.
No,
so jealous.
You're going to get, you know, it's going to come in. It's two game weeks. It's small sample, but Yeah, I mean, Robbo and Mendy and everyone's team has been great. They've just come in huge the first two game weeks. I mean, Shaw, for me, has been incredible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, anyone who has double Liverpool defense doing really well. Alonso now throwing his hat in the ring, clearly playing fullbacks not affecting him. And, you know, expensive defenders is having, I mean, Davis, Trippier now putting his hat in the ring also. There's so many 6 million defenders who look like season-long holds. That
so
are
many.
Be and really it, good. And
yeah, and it's one of, and it's a thing we obviously talked about in preseason is like, the guys that are in that like top five, top six right now that are in contention with the guys in the top six, with the guys from the teams that are top six are like Steve Cook on Bournemouth, Pereira on Leicester, who we should talk about later, like Holobas and stuff. But once the clean, you know, larger sample size, when the cleans really start carrying more than just attacking returns, which is kind of like weighting everything too strongly at the beginning of the season, like those guys on the top six clubs will pull away even more.
Oh my God. I'm Steve Cook getting double returns, like Holobas double returns. They will fade very fast from the top standings.
Yeah.
Very fast. All right. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Let me do shout outs. So shout out the FMLPL prize league / mug league leader. Still Petro, dude. He's just chilling up top. 10-point lead. Some guys are closing in, Roland and Halfide and shit, but I don't know, Petro's a beast. He's also top of the public league. He's just completely flying. Legend. OR 39.
Keep going.
That's good. God. He's flying. Obviously, kept Kuhn. That's it for housekeeping. So let's go on. Where do you want to start?
Start some questions.
Okay. I like it. So I feel like City is a decent place to start. Just a couple questions from the top right here that I'm pulling from Slack. So Bocce Coach, first question. Rotation's a thing no matter what for City midfield. So Dilva in? And then Simple Mug also on Slack. He said, at the beginning of last season, we saw Pep experiment with different formations, starting 11s and tactics for each player. After the big changes in game week 2 this past week, it looks like he's replicating those kinds of experiments. At this point, how confident can any of us be in saying that any outfield player for City is 100% nailed? I personally think we need to wait 5 game weeks or so before any of this will become clear, and in the meantime, just expect any and all of your City assets to miss a game or two.
Yeah. I mean, the second question, very, very developed question, but yeah, I think with City, what we see are players that are obviously first choice. But again, they have so many games, tactically flexible, just, you know, playing 2 strikers against Huddersfield, which is playing 11 men behind the ball every minute of the game. Just as flexibility and keeping the opponents guessing. And David Silva, first choice, no question. You know, I mean, Walker was dropped, but he's first choice, no question about that. You have Raz, first choice.
I'm not sure about Walker. Like, I'm a little, like, in the 3-5-2, the point of doing it, I think, is that you have 3 defenders, not 4. And Mendy is a billion times better going forward player than Walker, so it's a little shady. Like, because the amount of buses that they'll see, I'm just not sure if you need Walker. It's like overkill.
I think Walker and Raz, one reason that maybe pointed out about why they rested, where they did play a lot in the World Cup. They did both play 90 game week 1. They probably made a fitness decision. They could give you one of those 2 games, and then, you know, maybe taking the 2 weeks off to work on fitness is a little better. But I mean, he's not playing fucking Bilva at wing back on the left, on the right. That's ridiculous. I mean, he was okay, but
yeah, I, you know, just think against Huddersfield buses, at home, it's like sort of 4D chess from Pep. It's like the type of thing where we always complain about, like, Poch, and it's like they, Spurs will play against the bus, and he'll have like Wanyama, Dyer, 3 center backs, 2 wing backs, and it's like, do you need all of these guys? Or is this like Huddersfield?
That's the other end of the spectrum. But there are not many teams that are going to come to the Etihad that are at the level of Huddersfield. I mean, maybe they have 3 more games like that this season. But
I guess that's fair. But
you know, even mid-table teams, you know, you need someone who can at least.
Bernardo Silva was
playing right wing back. He's clearly never like done that in his life.
He had
no defensive responsibilities whatsoever. It was just, you know, it was just such a ridiculously easy game. But I mean, those are anyway. But the City discussion, yeah, no one's nailed. No one's nailed like Kane is nailed, like, or Salah. They're never going to not start a league game. You know, maybe there's going to be one in December or something. But yeah, he's going to be rotating them to an extent. You know, when Champions League starts up, that'll be another thing. And I don't think that's a reason not to own them. However, because I think that they are going to be scoring 3+ more often than not. And, you know, you hope if your guy doesn't play, he doesn't come off the for a cameo and you get someone off the bench or something like that. But, you know, having, you know, the odd 0 or 1 will be made up for by the 20 or the 12, you know, it comes around. The players are just so explosive. So that's kind of my take on that. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I think that's really the only way to approach it. I don't think you're going to win FPL by just avoiding City full stop. I think they're too good to do that. I mean, I guess there's a world where you could triple City defense, which is a thing we entertained in preseason because the rotation is so thick and fast. But you start to run out of, like, premium attackers that you really want if you were to go that route. Like, yeah, Alba's really good.
I think Kun put a marker down. I mean, he looks vintage. It seems, I mean, people are wildcarding if they don't have him. It seems absurd to not get on him, right?
Yeah, I think so. And we've thought so for even before the Community Shield. We're fucking hipsters. Like, I was on Kun before Community Shield. But it's just, yeah, I mean, I have nothing else to add, really. I think it's the only way to approach it, really. It's like, ideally, there's a world where, like, Bernardo Silva's more involved and he's nailed, or David plays every single week and he's nailed, but it just doesn't seem the best way to do it for Pep, and their squad is so fucking ridiculously deep and their quality is so high that they just don't need to do that like some of the other teams who are also in the top six would need to, so yeah, it just comes with the price tag, I guess, where sometimes you get 20 from Kun, like you said, and sometimes you'll get 0, but luckily there's a lot of like 4-5 and 5-0 guys who are actually kind of good.
Yeah, so what's your take on Dilf?
I mean, watching him was just magnificent. It was just like, I think I tweeted, like, I can't believe I ever doubted you. Like, I love Dilf, like, more than anyone. Like, he's the best thing ever. Like, seeing his little kid, like, be a healthy little baby, and then he scores, like, the worldie free kick. And he was just so up for it all game. He only played, like, 60 minutes, but, like, he was so incredibly good in those 60 minutes. Like, great stats.
Six chances and 2 big chances.
I mean, that's ridiculous creative tally for someone who only played 60 minutes. And then he tops it all off with the free kick, the golden free kick from the gods. And
I mean, him to Bilva, Bilva's creating a chance every 90 minutes, and Dilva created a chance every 11 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, part of that is the positioning too, right?
That's on the season, including the first game, though.
Yeah, including the first game. I mean, yeah, Dilva can't be touched. I mean, like, if this was last season and Kev had a horror injury last season, Dilva would be like the most required player in all of FPL because they didn't have like Mahrez and Bilva wasn't settled and stuff, and Dilva probably would have actually started every single game, but that's just not the case this season. I think there'll still be some rest and stuff, but I think he's a great pick. I mean, it's still a cheap price.
Yeah, he's not that expensive. It still feels a little bit sketchy to go with 2 attackers, though, just because of the rotation factor. I mean, having double exposure to it feels a little bit unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you, I had a lot of time of like thinking back to preseason this weekend, and I remember there was a time, I don't know if it was a tweet or if I said it on the pod or whatever, when I was just like, maybe we're just overthinking this entire thing. We should have triple City, triple Liverpool. That was like a profound statement conclusion that I came to at some point. And when you think back to preseason, like, it was sort of just overthinking it. So simple to just go Kun, 2 City defenders, because there's no midfielder that's remotely close to nailed. This was before, you know, Kev and Raz are back from the World Cup, before the injury, but we didn't know what was going on. And And then Liverpool is so easy to go Salah, defender, and like Mane, because they actually do have another nailed attacker who's really good. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy with my double Liverpool defense, but in hindsight, I'm just like, wait, why didn't I do that again? Like, it's so simple, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Stones is interesting too. I'm starting to, because I only have two City, so I'm looking at Stones.
I only have two City too. I want De Gea out for Ederson. God damn it.
Yeah, that's a safer option for sure.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I mean, that game, like, everyone was incredible. I mean, Gab Jesus should not be slept on either. I don't think, not necessarily for an FPL pick, like Kun is obviously the pick there, but he was incredible, and they worked well better together than I feel like I've ever seen them work together, you know?
I agree. Yeah, they weren't getting it. Usually I just feel like they're in each other's way.
When yeah, and that was not the case. They're interchanging really well, and one was in the box and the other was holding up and back and forth. And Mendy, dude, Mendy's just...
Yeah, Mendy, we know about Mendy. Yeah, Kun, he looked... was pretty good dropping deep too this game. He was good. I mean, Huddersfield is just, they're so bad. Huddersfield really missed Moy.
Really missed Moy? Dude, you know who misses Moy? City miss Moy.
Yeah.
That's who misses Moy. Yeah, I mean, Pep was going off on how good Kun was, like, not just from the goal scoring perspective, but from all the build up and everything. And that couldn't be a better message to hear from someone like Pep, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He sees the game differently.
Yeah. So that's City. A good thing. City are quite good.
Yep.
There's a lot of Arsenal talk. I mean, so yeah, here's just three questions, right? I'm just pulling right from the top right here, right? Three slackers. Adam P, Bug Eyes is bugging me. Do I stick or twist? Who should I get for him? I already have three City, three Liverpool. Then Matt, are we happy to stick to the plan and go all in on Arsenal after those two performances? And it's John Charles. Where are we on Mesut? So we both own Ozil. So what are you thinking?
He's been bad. He's been very bad. His stats are horrendous, and he's looked bad.
What's worse, his play or Emery's teeth?
I love Emery's teeth. I could stare at them forever. It's just like watching a car crash.
Diabolical.
They're insane. I love it so much.
The last time Ozil played 70 or more minutes without a single key pass was December 10th against Southampton. Yeah, that's what he did against Chelsea.
Well, he didn't play 70 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he played 67. Okay. I'm just, all that said, I'm just not concerned because he always is bad against good teams because Arsenal are usually bad against good teams, and he only is good in fantasy when they're bossing possession. That's how he gets points. And I was hoping for maybe like a corner kick assist or an indirect set piece assist in the first two game weeks, like I mentioned in the Lambs before game week one. Just, it would just calm me down a lot, but he signed an extension. Clearly Emery's been working very hard to figure out a spot for him. I think he wants him to be in his best 11. It's just a matter of where and who around him, but that said, it's getting pretty difficult to justify him and Mkhitaryan in the same team against good teams. Someone's got to make way because, I mean, he's just being carried. He pressed okay at times, but it's just, he's not good at it. Like, it's not his game, kind of, you know?
It's like running at people is okay, but if you're not good at blocking the pass or reading the pass or committing to it, then it's not that effective. Like someone like Jorginho is not going to be affected by Ozil running at him.
Yeah, it's just kind of meaningless. It's like energy a little expended.
Child running at you with a stick.
They don't play a good team until week 11 now. So this is why I have Ozil on my team. I perceive him to be nailed. Mkhitaryan was so bad for the vast majority of the game against Chelsea, but he came in with a double return. I mean, he missed an absolute ridiculous sitter. But in preseason, Emery was fucking around a lot with Laka in and Mkhitaryan. He was in a lot also, but I just don't know about Mkhitaryan. I mean,
Mickey seems like the standout pick. If you were going to transfer an Arsenal asset right now, I don't think you could really reason Ozil 1.5 million more expensive than Mickey.
No, I wouldn't make that argument. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not thinking of doing Ozil to Mkhitaryan.
No,
I'm just,
that's the
I
thing.
Made my
like,
bed
we both have kinda... Ozil. Like, someone on, I was debating with someone on Twitter. Like, he was saying, I don't know why you guys are so high and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, well, we both have him. So that's why I'm like navigating this minefield, because I agree with you on pretty much all fronts. The only thing that scares me, and I tweeted at Nate and he kind of calmed me down a little bit, but I just don't know that he's nailed, and I don't know that he's definitely going to start against these bad teams and stuff. And I do believe that if he does, the returns will come. And I think Arsenal's attack showed against Chelsea how lethal they can be, and they're going to be fucking good against these teams. But I'm just praying. That's the team sheet I'm by a million most nervous for this weekend. Just,
yeah, I'm not nervous about it at all.
I don't understand how you're not nervous. That's just, they have so many guys. Like, they have all of the guys from preseason, which are like, you know, yeah, Mickey, Shaka, Rambo, Oba, Laka, etc. And then also Iwobi was like so good against Chelsea and had a really good preseason. Just throwing his hat in the mix. I'm very worried.
No, that's the bug. It's the bug at God's team. We all know it. He's going to get in there. He's going to start doing his little assist things, and he's going to be great.
Aubameyang's going to start banging him in soon.
Oh my God, I don't know how he ended up with zero goals. That game was out of control.
The sitter level was... Yeah, you haven't seen that in a while. That was weird.
No, he's going to start getting points, but it's kind of the same thing. Why, even though the fixtures are good, why would you want him over Kun?
Yeah, I wouldn't. But the teams that started the season with Kun and Obbs and like some other good picks, and like there are teams that kind of loosely followed our template of like a relatively heavy defense, Salah, Kun, and then they also found a way to get Obbs and went cheap everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, say they're like starting Juan B or something, or like, well, rip Juan B. They're starting Tompkins every week, like Desert Bug or something. Like, those teams I look at now and I'm like, holy shit, you're about to fucking fly. Like, having Alba and Kun for this stretch is just insanity. Like, it's going to be great, I think.
Yeah, it's like 20 points a week from the two of them. You can sort of, I mean, that's maybe a little aggressive, but floor probably 12 points. Like, it's,
yeah,
they just
two
both
goals
together.
Between them.
Yeah, you're getting a couple goals. You should be anyway.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
be.
That's good. No, Obbs definitely good. Definitely good pick. Mkhitaryan, good pick. Ozil, I still think you hold if you own it. Don't get me wrong. If he's not on the team sheet, immediately transferred out. 1,000%
straight out.
As
Jota.
Yeah, just, could not make that transfer faster, but I don't see it. I just think he's going to be in the team every game. I think Emery's trying to build, like, work around him. Like, he's not, it's not like Aubameyang's playing the same spot. It's, I don't know.
I know what you mean. It's a little damper on, like, Emery and Arsenal. I mean, I still think they're going to be good and they're going to be fine and stuff, but, like, you see how short amount of time Sarri has been at Chelsea, given Chelsea's squad so much bigger and so much better than Arsenal's squad, I think. But Sarri was there so much with so much less time and half of his team at the World Cup or whatever, and they're just like looking awesome. And Arsenal cannot figure out their 11 and like don't know, kind of look confused and like don't know what's up. It's kind of bad.
Yeah, I don't know what Arsenal were up to thinking that their defense was okay with the current players they have in the squad, but that said, Arsenal could have won this game 5-3.
Absolutely could have
won
the game.
So that the scoreline, I think, flattered Chelsea, to be honest.
Yeah.
Arsenal went missing for a large stretch of the game, but they created... So they missed two absolute stone-cold sitters, one Aub and one Mkhitaryan. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah,
they won so many chances.
XG battle, and Chelsea were just playing the long ball game. It was a very interesting game. But
yeah.
On the note of Chelsea, I think Conte deserves some talking to. And F Train on Slack said, how real is Conte for FPL? He's playing quite free in the Chelsea squad. Will Kovacic coming in change that? I mean, what the fuck is happening with Conte right now? Like, actually, what's happening? Like,
he is 100% a viable start every week option right now. I mean, the stats are there. Positions he's getting into are there. He's 5 million, which is ridiculously cheap. And, you know, he's just playing a different role. We're obviously not used to seeing it, but my concern was when Kovacic came in for Barkley, what would that do to Conte? And
it didn't stop him at all.
It was only 20 minutes, but it had absolutely zero impact. And Kovacic looked ridiculous, by the way. He's such a player.
He's just so good, dude.
Oh my God, so good.
People were fucking ripping on me when I tweeted. When they got Kovacic, I tweeted Chelsea might have like the best central midfield in Europe. And everyone was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're looking pretty good so far.
It's impressive how... Sorry, I mean, he obviously identified that he needed to bring Jorginho with him from Italy, and then he just bought Kovacic, and he looks at Conte, and he's like, go play attacking mid, which he's like never done in his life. And the three of them look, in my head, like it's going to be, it's like the John Nash, like, numbers everywhere or whatever, like, they're going to be so good together.
It's so weird, like, I was talking to Cole, like, friend of the pod, like, Chelsea supporter, and I was just like, sorry, comes in, he's just chewing on cigarettes, and he's like, okay, I have the best central defensive midfielder in the actual world, no argument at all, I'm gonna make him, he's my new number 10.
And like, he looks good, I mean, he's gonna go into it.
And he kind of can't pass, and he's gonna just keep scoring goals, it's the most bizarre thing ever.
The thing that I've been watching him specifically so much more than the other players when I've been watching Chelsea this season, because I'm just confused about what's happening, but he knows his limitations, and he doesn't make bad decisions, and... he just lays it off for someone who's better than him. And he's like the second runner on when the ball's out wide, and maybe it just drops to his dick and he dicks it in. You know, he's...
Yeah, there was one play that like what's perfectly illustrated it. I think it was like Conte up to Morata, Morata back to goal, like just great hold up play, turns, frees Conte down the right side. Conte gets into the box, shits himself, side passes it to Morata for like a good shot in the box. And it's just like, he's gonna get assists by just doing that. He led the entire match with five touches in the box and three shots in the box. Second on Chelsea for XG in the match. He also created four chances, which was also the most for Chelsea. It's like, what?
Yeah, he's... and his engine is ridiculous.
Well, that's why it works, I feel like, because he'll just never stop sprinting. Ever.
Defensively, obviously, it's not good for Chelsea, but I don't give a fuck about that. We're talking about him for FPL, and he's good for FPL. I think he's a very good pick right now. I think he's better than any 5 million defender. I would have him over any 5 million defender on my team right now.
Trent?
Except for Trump.
Hey.
Good job, man.
God, Conte. I can't believe that's like a fucking topic right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's also good. Alonso. You kind of mentioned Alonso, but... Yeah. No wing back doesn't really fucking matter. He's just loving life.
Yeah. He's basically still playing in midfield, kind of. His heat map is fucking ridiculous. So.
Yeah, he's a midfielder, and now he's just better on bonus because he's getting like more recoveries, more CBI, more tackles, like all that shit. And he's attacking just as much. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, Chelsea, obviously, the defense for clean sheet doesn't seem tremendous. Yeah. They probably should have conceded against Huddersfield game week one, but... Yeah, I mean, the next four, they've got Newcastle, Bournemouth's a bad fixture, but they have them at home, I don't know. And then Cardiff and West Ham, you know, they're kind of a mixed bag for clean sheets, but if you get, you know, two clean sheets in five or six from Alonso, you expect he'll get one more attacking return, maybe two, you're making your money right there.
Yeah, and that's what you would hope for.
Yeah, he's a good pick. Yeah, he's back. He's good. He's still good. He's not a liability. Well, he's a liability defensively, but he's not an FPL liability in terms of position. So he's
We had him all preseason.
The minute that Conte got sacked, I took him out. But he was in my team.
That's what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And now that we're seeing that he's the same position, I mean, he should just be straight back in.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, bet. Begging Boy on Twitter said, would you take Richarlison over Alonso? If so, why?
That's tough.
That's really tough.
The fixture run for Everton is still like, whoa.
I actually haven't looked at it in a while. Let me check it out.
Still really, really good. So I would...
It's ridiculously good. Holy fuck.
Richarlison's a tough one. I mean... his stats have been medium. His conversion rate's been insanely good. Alonso versus Richarlison. I would probably go Richarlison, but it's close.
I mean, so Richarlison. Let's just transition there. He can't stop scoring. And after early transfers this week, still neither of us have him somehow. What the fuck are we doing? What are we thinking about?
Well, I mean, that's what I posed to you. It's like I had two frees. Do I want to take a hit and drop someone else? I mean, do I want to use two frees, drop someone else where I really don't have an obvious place to find money to get Richarlison? Or do I use one and get Pedro and just sit tight and float because the rest of my team's great and I don't have any problems? To me, anyway. And we kind of decided just fucking Pedro's stats and eye test looks better and he plays on a better team. So it went that way. So once Willian plays and Hazard comes in and Pedro's on the bench, then the decision will be easy for me.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
It's a process of elimination.
But me, the jig is up and everyone knows your transfer now. My double move that I made yesterday was Jota out for 4-5 midfielder and Juan Bissaka before he got the red card, because I'm fucking prescient being, up to Alonso. So we kind of made the decision to go Alonso over Richarlison. And now I feel bad about it.
It's a little different because then you would have, you keep Juan and then you had to downgrade elsewhere. And
no, I didn't. I could have just gone Jota to Richarlison.
You had money to do that?
I had money.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was an oversight. I'm not sure. These are all coin flips to me, really. I mean,
it really, Richarlison is the hardest thing to read, I feel like, in a while.
Yeah, for me, my default mode is to not own him and curse every time he scores. I got used to it last season, so it felt more comfortable for me to just keep playing my part there.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing without Richarlison.
Yeah, neither of us. That's why we're bad.
Yeah, but I could have got him. Oh my god, did I just fucking fuck up badly? I don't know. He has four shots.
And
XG of 0.92, and he has three goals.
And two of the goals, I just don't know with him. He has one good goal and two weird ass. The first goal is shit against Wolves. Just a complete.
Yeah, I mean, the header goal is legit.
The header
this
was
weekend.
Good.
Yeah,
I mean, he got good. It, made a good run. It was powerful. It was good, but I mean, he didn't do fuck all else. I just don't know, dude. Richarlison, I just don't know. He's
it's
great.
Really
obviously,
weird.
He's great. He just scores for fun. It's the kind of thing where if stats didn't exist, I'd be like, oh, three goals in two games. Yeah, what,
right.
You know,
that's like casuals are just flying right now, and we're fucking sulking. But yeah, I don't know. Compared to the first half of last season when Rich was gold and just incredible, like he's shooting less, he's touching the ball in the box less, he's crossing less, he's creating less. It's just, I don't know what to believe at this point. Like it just seems like, okay, he's just running ridiculously hot, or is it just like the team
better.
Is better and he's getting less chances but better chances, and so he's just scoring. Like I don't know. I don't know how to tell the difference between those two things.
I am in the same boat. But that said, I think he's a fairly obvious FPL pick that
he
should have and don't. I mean, I don't want to keep talking about this.
Wait, but now why do I have Alonso and not Richarlison?
I mean, Alonso has more points than him on the season. So
yeah, Alonso's good, right?
He's
I didn't
fucking,
totally fuck up there.
No, I think it's a long-term safety play. I mean, we know Alonso's a known commodity and Richarlison's overperforming based on his stats. I think it's fine.
Yeah, clean sheets are a lot of points too.
Yeah.
I just need that's really what it hinges on. I just need Chelsea to get cleans in the really easy fixtures and then it's great. If their defense is just kind of like bad but they score a lot of goals, then I don't know if it's good.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep like 9 clean sheets this year, that's a problem.
That's bad.
But if they're in the 14 range, then you're fucking fine.
Yeah,
which
okay.
They probably will be just by the quality of the players.
It should be. They should be.
It's fine, dude. Not owning Richarlison is fine.
Oh my god, this is
so
fine. Dog in the house of on fire. He just says, "Oh god." Posters of like Jota, Lucas Moura, Pedro on his wall. The dog in the house, so just burning down. This is fine.
I just wish Chelsea had harder fixtures because then it wouldn't have been that challenging for me to decide between the two of them, but Chelsea have great fixtures.
I think Pedro's great too. I think
Pedro's looked ridiculously good.
Yeah, he's really good. I think the only small, very small thing is, like, is he 100% nailed? I was actually thinking about this. This is sort of related. We need other words than just, like, nailed, 100% nailed, sort of nailed, kind of nailed. Like, I need some, like, in-between words.
We need a Kinsey scale of, like, yes. Sexuality for yes. Nailedness.
Because, like, when I'm, like, rock hard about a player, I'm rock hard fucking throbbing over a player. When I'm medium throbbing, I'm al dente. Like, that's great. Like, that's a established vocabulary word of FMLPL glossary. But for nailed, it just we just say, like, a percentage in the nailed or sort of nailed. I think he's nailed. He might be nailed. I'm not sure
that's if
he's
nailed. That's why I like using first choice, because
first choice those are different. To you
first
means
choice and nailed are different things.
Yeah, that is a different thing. That's it. That's like a city exclusive thing, though, because Sarri rotate.
No, he doesn't. But I still have no idea who he prefers between Pedro and Willian.
Yeah, so
I have zero, absolutely zero idea who he prefers. So I know what I'm seeing, and I'm making the decision.
We think it's Pedro,
but it could easily not be. It
could easily not be. So I need a word for that, which is just, I don't know what that word is.
It's just a mind fuck. We'll come up with it.
Mind fuck, yeah. Someone should submit something if they have a good word for that. That's a good thing. Anyway, that was a rant. But I was going to jump to this question. Josh Shoes on Twitter, he said, Bants about Everton attack. What's up with Siggy? Does he look good? He's just so unlucky so far. It seems like there'll be goals this season.
I mean, Siggy's been good-ish. Yeah. Obviously, the first game was a little bit of a throwaway with the 10 men for so long, but...
And he's the one that got sacrificed for it.
Yeah, he got the sacrificial lamb, but he's creating chances. 7-5 is not too expensive, but it just doesn't make any sense to own him over either Richarlison or Walcott to me, because... I mean, he's not shooting. He doesn't have pens. I mean, he could score 5 goals this whole season. That would not surprise me if it was something as low
as that.
That's,
like, pretty good for him. If you subtract pens, that's good for him.
I guess. But what I'm saying, I mean, I don't think he's going to finish in, you know... I feel like he's going to get less points than Richarlison and Walcott, period.
Yeah, I think that's just nailed. And the way they play is with such inverted attacking wingers, it's just... Yeah,
He's more expensive, so I don't see a spot for him. I don't at all mind double on Walcott and Richarlison. I think Walcott's a very under the radar fine pick. He looks just as good, if not better, than Richarlison so far. He did anyway this last game, but
yeah, they basically have the same stats. And Fayo also missed a huge chance. He could have triple returned very, very easily.
Yeah, very easily. So I think that's definitely on. Theo's looked fantastic and.
Yes, yeah, so Sobra on Slack had a question about that. He said, is it an option to double up if you know that it's likely only one will return? Hughes and Pereira or Walcott and Richarlison or Mkhitaryan and Iwobi? I'm not really talking about prices or any particular two players, but is it an option to double up knowing that one will return, knowing as best you do? I don't know.
I don't really understand the question, but in short, I never think it's bad to double up on an attack if... You think it's a good attack, and they have a good, like, short to medium fixture run.
Yeah, that's basically what he's asking, I think.
Yeah, I think that if it meets those two criteria, like, I do not think Watford's attack is good. They don't really score away. They've played 2 good games so far, but in no world of life would I want to have two assets from their attack.
Right.
But a team like Everton, who looks like they could score 3 each game and have a ridiculous run, and they have 2 individual players who both look cracking, I think it's great.
And the money is right.
Yeah, and they're cheap. So I think those are good punts. But I think it's kind of rare that we have, you know, like Suarez and Sturridge situation from a couple of years ago where there are 2 premiums on the same team, like I guess Aguero and Raz, for example, where, you know, that's a good tactic. I mean, Mane and Salah look good in tandem.
Yeah.
I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, to this rule. But in general, I'm never shy. I mean, I usually fucking triple defenses for fun in a heartbeat. So I'm never shy on the double and triple. I think it's a way that you can try and, you know, make gains. If you're identifying something that you feel good about and other people don't do things just because they're being risk averse and no other reason, that's not a good that's not a good reason to me.
It's just a weird thing. I feel like it only would matter in like a head-to-head league or something like that, where it's like you're trying to diversify and like, let's just say Richarlison and Feo are your double up, and I also agree with you. I think that's fine. Maybe the week they're playing at City, you're going to like lose your head-to-head or have a bad week because they're probably both going to blank. Like, sure, I guess I could get behind that, but we don't really ever talk about head-to-head or consider head-to-head as part of the game. And if you think they're both good picks and going to return, then it just doesn't matter what team they play for. Like, they're just good. They're just going to get points.
I do think it's important to hop off of one, if not both, when the fixtures even turn to just okay for Everton, for example. I mean, game week 10, they play United, and then they start having like kind of a good game and then a bad game. And they have, from game week 10 to 18, they have United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, and Spurs. That's five of the of those eight games against the probable top five.
That's bad.
You definitely need to get rid of one of your Everton attackers, and maybe both. I mean, that might be a time to, unless if you have too much value in one, or one's still really looking better than the other, or something like that. But as an example, you know, when the fixtures get, that's, I feel like when you need to really make
your move.
But, you know, it's good job.
Yeah, good job, man. I like that. So just speaking of the Everton Southampton game, Ingsy, dude, great shot by you.
Yeah, came in. He looked good. I mean, 5.5's a really good price. He's a fantastic enabler. I'm seeing a lot of folks, you know, looking to get King out, you know, freeing up a million there, some stuff like that. I'm still just, it's still Southampton, so.
Yeah, going into life with Ings as your like every week starter is a little sketchy, but his stats are insane and he looks good, and 5.5's ridiculous. But
yeah, the fixtures are still okay, but he still plays for Southampton. But I mean, it's fun. I think he's a fun pick.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, it gives you some reason to give a fuck about Southampton this season, which is going to be tough to do for anyone. And he looks great. The 5.5 defenders, you know, because you kind of have to not only look at him in the competition with the other 5.5 forwards, of which there's only Jimenez, and he seems better to me than him. But
Jimenez has been really good.
Jimenez has been good, but Ings, he's done it for longer. And Wolves, I'm a little nervous about Wolves, what they're up to. But the 5.5 defenders, other than PVA, there's not really any obvious options that scream out to me. So, you know, if you're looking at doing a double swap and you could do something like, you know, the 5.5 defender instead of a 5.5 forward or things like that, I still like Ings there. But, you know, like Fraser, do I like Ings more than Fraser? I don't know. That's closer. It depends
Fraser's
more on your.
Very good, yeah. Fraser's or Conte, good. Even.
Yeah, Conte, even. That's tough. I think it's more dependent on your team if you have two transfers or what you're doing, but. Yeah, I think Ings looks good. I definitely don't think he's good to bench every week, though, because I'm not trying to spend an extra million on the bench.
I feel like
rotating, maybe you could.
There's so many good picks right now. Like, I feel like I usually don't feel this way.
Yeah.
Like, usually game week two, I'm like itching to wild card already because I'm like, I don't have any of the essential guys, and I want to get all of these guys that are fucking amazing, and everyone has them, and I'm just like. Like, people will send me their team. They'll, like, DM me on Twitter and be like, I was thinking of doing this to Ings or getting Conte or, like, whatever. All the guys that we just talked about. And I'm just like, yeah, looks good. Like, they're all good. Like, they're all good picks. I don't know. You know, it's hard to discern which one's going to score more points in, like, a short window. It's borderline impossible to do that, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so unique about the season so far is everyone who flew game week one really flew game week two, because everyone who returned game week one also returned game week two.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, that's kind of why I personally at 560K feel lucky to be clinging to that rank when I have basically had one midfielder the whole year so far. And everyone has that midfielder. So I've been playing with like seven men.
Yeah. You know? you have no Richarlison, no Mane.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just getting no points in midfield. But this is kind of where we look at if we're being good managers, because we're learning from seasons past and saying, okay, Eriksen and Ozil, they always do it. They always have done it. Underlying stats are, well, not in both of their cases, but in Eriksen's case, like, they're still fine.
Still good, yeah.
Like, if Eriksen had, if Kane was able to finish that one great ball that he put into him instead of just like stop moving and fall down looking for a pen because he's just a fucking piece of shit, and Erickson got an assist there. I mean, he created so many chances game week one. If he got an assist there, we wouldn't be having a conversation about potentially taking him out or anything.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, because one of the things I tweeted about Erickson once after Tripp's free kick and like Tripp's on corners and stuff is like, last season he had one assist from Erickson, had one assist from corners, three assists from free kicks, and then two seasons ago he had three assists from corners and three assists from free kicks. There's definitely a negative effect that Trips, if he's playing very regularly, which he probably will, is going to have on Erickson and his long-term, you know, value and reliableness. But I think what you just said is a great point, where you have to kind of put things in perspective, and it's like Erickson's unlucky to not have a return right now. And if he did, I'm not sure how much we'd even be talking about this.
It's just made harder because Mane is just blowing the doors down and they're the same price, which is one thing. But I mean, the set pieces is a concern for sure. Don't get me wrong. Like, corner kicks, even though what do you get? 3% of the time you get a goal off corner kick. It's still not nothing. You know,
being on pens, you just get random assists.
Yeah, you get randomly lucky. And if he's going to be off direct freeze while Trippier's on, we'll see. But, you know, he still should be sharing and taking indirect set pieces, which is really, that's what he's really good at, are the indirect set pieces, about putting those balls in those areas. I mean, he scores goals off them sometimes, but he's just still doing everything he always has done. He just didn't get any points so far. So I was like, obviously in a very emotional state on Saturday when he blanked, and I was losing my mind.
Everyone was triggering you with the Erickson looks like he's playing deep talk.
Oh my God. And I mean, my wife was just taking the brunt of it. And so then I'm obviously immediately thinking about fucking him off my team, because I don't want to look at him anymore. And she's like, I just spout random shit to her, and she just doesn't even, she half pays attention. But she's like, when I captained him, she's like, this is like, you're going to marry someone and you're captaining them, and then the next day you want to break up with them and kill them because of like that one moment. She's like, but if you have someone on your team who you're willing to marry, then why would you remove them? I was like, that's a good point. It doesn't make sense. So I was like, so I'm just going to keep them.
She's great.
Sometimes. Yeah.
We got to get her on the pod.
Oh my God. She would be mortified. Dude, I don't want to watch another Spurs game the rest of the season.
I mean, to be honest, with Bavis and Lucas, it was kind of exciting for me. Like, Lucas is fun to watch. He's a little firecracker.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's so fast and just like loose cannon, just like wild man. So it's kind of fun to watch him. But yeah, in Spurs, I don't know. Kane by far is the most frustrating player for me.
Yeah. Oh,
like
my God.
I used to be like kind of like angry at like Ollie diving and misplacing passes or like whatever the fuck, but Kane is just so hard to watch. Like, yeah, he broke looks the like curse, a shell. Whatever. Like, he just looks like Charlie Austin or something. Like, he just can't move. In a bad way. He just falls. Like, yeah, he scored a nice goal. Like, but God, he's just such a nightmare.
If you, in this game, Spurs versus Fulham, if you replaced Kane and everything that he was doing with Glenn Murray, how many goals would Glenn Murray have scored?
Oh my God, Glenn Murray nailed Hattie.
He would have had an
actually
easy
nailed.
Hat trick. Easy hat trick.
Glenner is fucking world class finisher. Oh my God.
That was one of the best Glenner games I've seen since he left Palace.
And that goal is not getting the credit that it deserves. That first goal was.
Glenner was great.
That was just so filthy, that little flick. Oh my God.
He was just doing peak vintage Glenn Murray things.
God, speaking of just strikers from that match, imagine swapping Mitrovic and Kane.
Oh,
Mitrovic should have had, he would finish with 50 goals this season.
God, we're going to lose so many of our British listeners. I cannot imagine that more than five Spurs fans listen to our
podcast. The thing is, like, we do shit on Spurs often. It must be said, like, you personally are probably like the earliest Kane adapter I've ever known in my life.
I bought him when he was 4'8".
He was 4.8, no name, backup young striker. Like, we've been Kane before, like Salah and like, not really before Kun, like while Kun was still going on, we were like always Captain Kane merchants. Like, we were Kane in every season, without question, Kane in our starting game week one team forever. So it
except for last year when I didn't have Kane.
Yeah, right. But you had Erickson and Ollie just to cover for Kane. Like, that's how much respect we showed him.
It was August.
Yeah, and it was August. But that definitely carries like some of why it's so frustrating to watch them, because like Kane looks like he's 75 years old. And it's just like, he just needs to rest. Like, he's not good right now. He's not like contributing positively. And it's just so frustrating. Like, when Kane was flying, when he was, you know, 3 seasons ago, like scoring hat tricks at Chelsea and shit, it was just like, it was the best thing ever. It was incredible. It was like so exciting, but that he just hasn't looked like that for so long. So I just want to defend our Spurs bashing a little bit with like, We're like classically Kane lovers. It's just not his time right now.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
I also personally bash on Spurs 300% more than you. You don't ever bash on Spurs.
I don't really.
No, that's my job.
That's your job. Yeah.
But you don't bash on anyway. You're just a fucking nice guy, like fun loving.
Do I not bash enough?
You go on very like narrow rants about something like that sets you off, but it's usually either something a manager does or
it's like one guy on your team. Yeah, I think that's right.
You're a kinder basher.
But that just means that, like, I don't know. That to me, that sounds like I'm the serial killer of between us, and you're like just an angry person. I'm putting on lipstick on my couch, like crossing off the people to kill list. Okay, let's go through some questions real quick, because we got a lot. There's some good ones here. There's a Mayo on Slack. Who's your pick of the 6-5s to score the most points in the medium term next 4-ish game weeks?
I mean, it's the same names, except for just remove Jota. It's Madison, Pedro, and Richarlison, not in that order. I have no idea which of those 3 players will score more points. If you think you know, you're wrong, because all 3 of them could score, you know, 30 or 8. I don't know.
What's your read on Madison and Leicester? Because we haven't talked about them since, you know, at all this pod. And I don't know, Maddo, he gets a pretty lucky deflected goal. Now Vardy's out.
Pretty lucky is a ridiculous categorization.
Very lucky.
Very
100% lucky. Like, Leicester essentially created nothing. They got a lucky own goal and a lucky deflection. And Rachel Maddow all of a sudden is like hot on the tips of the tongues of everyone transferring in 6-5s. But I don't know. What do you think about Madison and what do you think about Leicester?
Leicester still feel very much, I need more games and more information. I don't have a great read. I think that because they play Liverpool game week 4, it doesn't make that much sense to get them right now. At Southampton, that's the kind of game where they go and it's 1-1, 0-0. I mean, come on.
And I imagine watching that match.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That is just diabolical nightmare match.
Yeah, I mean, that tells you things. You suggest watching the game.
Just imagining watching it just sets
right
us
now.
Off.
I am crying tears of laughter in my fucking face right now. So I feel like getting 2 more games is a good job, and then they have a better long-term run. Starting game week 5 for really a long time. They have good attacking fixtures pretty much more or less. So that's kind of when I would want to do it. But
yeah.
They still aren't. I mean, they looked very good against United, but, you know, Brighton just scored 3 against United. So I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, wait, what's the bar and, there?
I mean, Vardy's going to be out for a little bit. Iheanacho will come step in. But I still just don't feel like he picked 2 different teams. He's going to pick different teams for the next couple game weeks. I'm a little iffy on
that. Yeah, it's concerning for me that they created absolutely nothing and they kind of got away with it and scored 2 goals because they didn't deserve it. The thing that I think stands out to me more than anything with Leicester, even though it's only 2 games, small sample size, is like Puel like bought some defenders and he's such a negative conservative manager. There actually is some value in their defense. Like, I'm used to their defense being so bad, and we couldn't have shit on it harder in preseason. But Evans in is a big deal. He's a solid defender. And Pereira looks really good. And Chilwell looks really good. And Pereira played under Puel at Nice. Like, Puel fucking loves Pereira. He's, like, basically playing right midfielder. Even when he starts at right back, I think he had the most touches in the box in the game against Wolves. Like, he's just overlapping Merchant. Assists in both games. They were pretty lucky to get away with a clean against Wolves, must be said. But if they can be middle of the pack in cleans and Pereira can rack up assists, there's potentially something there. I'm interested in it.
Yeah, I think you could defend that for a spell. The problem is that I think of with them is I feel like Palace is a better defensive team, and they have players at every price bracket. Everyone's got these 6 million guys in who are all banging it in.
Right, where do you fit them in?
Shaw's still five, still start. I mean, I still feel like Shaw's an okay pick. I just don't know where there's room, but yeah, I think that's a shout.
Yeah,
and one final thing about Madison. Madison on the season has 3 goal attempts, 1 in the box, and 1 chance created. So he looks good, but the stats are not there.
The stats are That is
damning.
The stats
are not there.
Not.
But he looks good, so.
Yeah, he does look good.
Yeah. All right. Everything's certainly running through him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll just rapid fire through some other questions.
Walcott. I think Walcott should be in that conversation, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Did we not say him?
No, I didn't. I just mentioned Madison, Richarlison, and Pedro.
Right. Yeah, Walcott's great. He's absolutely great. And
Frazier, he's good. They have good
features. Yeah, Mayo asked for 6 points, but yeah, Frazier's good. Conte's good. We've like passively mentioned everyone that we back in that region. I mean, Mkhitaryan, a little more expensive, I think, is a good pick. Craig on Slack, question for the pod. Do we keep faith in De Gea despite today's game, or do we swap? And who's looking the best right now? Jabron James also said, goalkeeper moves always feel bad, but is moving from De Gea to Ederson or Alisson a feasible move, or do we practice patience with United D? And last half, he said, Halfie or Halfie?
Just pretend that we're Ronald Koeman and say Halfie.
Halfie. Question for Pod. What the fuck do you do if you have double Man United D? Oof.
Yeah. I mean, double. First of all, if you own Bailly, that is the by far number one most urgent transfer you could possibly make.
Bailly double defense. Good.
What?
Bailly looked good. Here's me in preseason saying Bailly's by far their best defender. Good job by me.
If you own double United defense, that is also absurdly urgent to just get one, to shed one share.
Unless you're trying to shoot the moon. We can't throw that out there.
Shoot the moon. De Gea does not look great right now. If you have a City or Liverpool spot available, it's pretty difficult after 2 game weeks in to justify that De Gea is going to get more points than either Alisson or Ederson. It's just dependent on the rest of your team. Like, do you have the luxury to spend a transfer there? You know, I mean, what do you think? That's kind of what I feel.
Yeah.
Like.
I mean, in hindsight, I made that double move. I kind of wish I dealt with De Gea and just got Ederson. I have a free City spot. I could have gone De Gea to Ederson, Jota to Richarlison,
or easy. Mkhitaryan,
whatever, easy. And that just like solves 2 problems. I didn't do that. I still have De Gea, but I'm very much looking at Ederson. I mean, it's just, I think I didn't get through like most of the pods because there's a match today, but I think it was Totally Football. Someone was saying like United kind of haven't been that good defensively for like 2 or 3 seasons. They just have De Gea that cleans up everything. Like XG, all that shit, De Gea just like trumps all of it by making like standing on his head and just making a billion saves. But he hasn't done that for a few months now. Not for Spain, not at the end of the season for United, not the beginning of this season. And that's a little bit concerning.
Yep, I agree. Shaw's look good, dude.
Shaw's just good.
The assist was ridiculously lucky, but
yeah,
he was one of the few players that was wearing a red shirt that could held his head.
He's one of the few players that looks like he's playing a position that he's ever played in his life before.
There you go. Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Vacantif on Slack says, should Wilf be a staple in our front three going forward? Great run of fixtures for the next 6 weeks. Already approaching 32% ownership. Holy fuck. I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah, I mean, no, I still like Arnie more. Period. But if I was going with 3 strikers, then Wilf would probably be the third guy I'd try and wedge in.
I think at this point, I like Wilf more. I started the season with Arnie. I was right there with you. But knowing that Wilf is now just central, he's just central striker, I think I prefer Palace and I prefer Wilf and the players around him. They just seem like such a better team, and they're creating stuff. And yeah, the run is ridiculous. The fixtures are not comparable to West Ham.
Yeah, the run's good. I mean, Arnie's just so selfish now that we know he's on pens. I
love that. Yeah.
I just don't.
Well, at Arsenal's actually a good fixture, so don't let that red deceive you.
I mean, it's great. The fixtures are not the right color when you look at them on the little ticker bullshit thing, but they're not awful. I mean,
they're not as bad as they look. Yeah,
they really are. And from an attacking standpoint, especially they're going to be playing on the counter. I mean, Chelsea at home isn't good on paper, but. Should get a couple chances.
Same with United at home.
United home's fantastic fixture. They got at Arsenal, home Wolves at Everton. It's nowhere near as good.
That's fair. I think it's close. I think I would take Wolf over Arnie though.
Yeah, I just I wouldn't make that swap if I were wildcarding right now. I'm not sure where I would go.
I feel like we say a lot of things on this pod that we need to kind of preface with that. Like, I have Arnie. In no world am I ever considering making that swap. That's a lateral move. I have other problems to fix. Arnie's still a good pick. I should feel like we need to clarify that for new listeners and shit. But if you're wildcarding or just in a vacuum, I think I would prefer Wilf. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What about fucking Callum, dude?
His stats. He, you know what Callum did? He space jammed Josh King. He just took all of Josh King's skills and was like, we're going to play right next to each other and I'm going to be the fucking man. He looks great.
He looks really good.
He's good.
I've gotten so fucked by him in the past. Every single time I bring him in, he's like Chaz for me.
Everyone ever that has ever played FPL has gotten fucked by Callum Wilson.
Yeah. But he just looks good. I mean, he looks good. Fuck. There's so many good players this year. What the fuck is happening?
There's so many good players. Yeah, I mean, the stats are out of control good for Callum also.
I mean, imagine if he didn't miss that pen.
Yeah. He'd be number 0.3 more expensive right now.
Yeah, he would be most points in the game or something.
I don't know. Bournemouth are kind of good. I mean, we shit on them a bit. Fraser looks good. Brooks looks really good.
Oh, yeah, dude. He looked great.
He looked really good. And, I mean, King is, unfortunately for him and King owners, he kind of seems like he's the one that, is not benefiting from the kind of new system and stuff. But, yeah, it's unlocked, the rest of the team who look good. Bournemouth just look good.
Yeah, Wilson's a good pick.
Yeah, Wilson's a good pick. Wolfie, any 5-5 defender for Arsenal and Chelsea worth looking at ahead of their decent runs? I'm thinking Luiz or Monreal.
I would want, absolutely, if there was a 4-5 defender on Arsenal, I would not want them on my team. I'm going to just say that. I'm not even remotely considering a defender on their team. Chelsea, I think David Luiz is okay. He's an okay pick at 5-5, but I would still rather have PVA.
Yeah, probably.
PVA plays midfield. I assume you don't have him. I would have him over David Luiz for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Chelsea are gonna look, the amount of space that's there is just, there's so much space on the counter available. Even in the good fixtures, they're gonna let up goals on the counter in the 83rd minute.
I'm worried about it.
Huddersfield hit the bar twice. It's just, I don't want any of them, really, is my answer, I guess.
I'm a little higher on Chelsea defense than you, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I've been pretty down on their defense since.
Yeah, they, I was, too. In preseason, I thought, full stay away. Let's just see how it goes. They obviously got carved open for, a 20-minute stretch against Arsenal. But, I don't know. I think they can make it work. I think. What's interesting is only one fullback really attacks at a time. It's usually Alonso. But when Alonso goes up, Aspil stays back. So they have Luis Rudiger, Aspil back. They also have
Jorginho.
Jorginho's always back. Conte is box to box. I feel like that's enough. That should be enough against bad teams that you're not getting completely exposed behind Alonso or something like that. But
yeah.
I guess we'll see soon.
I just, when everyone else at six is so much better.
Yeah,
just,
so much better.
Just find, I mean, I'm just like, find the point five.
Yeah, just find it. And yeah. I mean, like, someone like Bellend is interesting me a little bit, like, because he's just so far forward.
Yeah, he's basically playing a midfield. But
he's basically a midfielder. He's like playing the Alonso role. He just doesn't have near the stratosphere of class of Alonso.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they can start to look okay defensively, I then make that transfer. I do not make that transfer before a good run of fixtures, just because it's a good run of fixtures. That's the thing. That's the key thing.
I mean, until Xhaka stops playing and we see Torreira and we
Needs to be nailed. Yes.
Yeah. If he doesn't start the next game, I don't know what to make of anything in the world.
If he doesn't start the next game, we're Patreoning a Emery out banner to fly over the Emirates, I think.
Yeah. No, you can't tell me he doesn't have fitness after playing 245s. You can't. I don't have time to listen to that.
No, I do not. But have time. I mean, that's Conte just played and just won the fucking final.
No, it doesn't. And he's so small. Everything's like littler. He should be able to recover faster. He's less of everything. Makes sense.
He's totally probably recovering from getting his braces off more than the fitness from the World Cup.
The 13-year-old in the Wii Uruguayan. But yeah, no, it's just not a good idea, I don't think. Arsenal defense, it's being too clever. It's like getting Jota instead of Richarlison. Like, come on.
Yeah, ugh, too
come
soon.
On. Come on, guys.
Dagger. All right, I think, we're doing a lot today. I think
let's
we can move on from questions, right?
Let's get out of it.
All right, so let's go to captains and our teams and shit. So who are you looking at for cap this week?
I mean, it's the
easiest. There's basically two guys. It's Salah or Aguero. Which one are you capping?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always on Mo. If Mo, I would need Mo on against, I don't know what I would, I don't know what fixture I would need to not captain Mo besides Palace.
I was going to say City, but then that means that Kuhn is playing Liverpool, so I don't know what to
and
do.
And it's just going
to
be hopefully like 10-9 or something.
Yeah, right, yeah.
No, I mean, home Brighton traveled so poorly game week one. They'll have their tails up after winning against United, but I mean, I don't think they're a good team. I think they're going to go to Anfield
Brighton,
and get...
I think I remember from Match of the Day, Brighton got 29 of their 40 points at home last season.
Yeah, like they're going to travel to Anfield and get fucked. And
they're going to get fucked.
That's an easy one for me. I don't really have an issue with someone captaining Kuhn. I would just be like, yeah, that's fine. But I'm personally
I mean,
not.
Wolves are bad defensively. There's tons of room. It's weird being a Kuhn owner because if his captaincy is like really high, I almost want him to be benched. I just want to punish the non-believers.
Yeah, maybe not this week with Wani Biz on the red card train, but we'll see.
Right.
You're on Mo as well?
Just like last week, I never considered it. No matter what Aguero did this week, I never considered it. I mean, like, I texted you. You unfortunately didn't get to see the Liverpool Palace match, but on another day, that's an easy quadruple return for Mo. I mean, he gets red card challenged out of a one-on-one with the keeper. He has some other chances that are like in the box, half chances that are blocked. One of those goes in or something, or takes a pen. He got two assists. Like, I tweet, like, a lot of people after that game, I'm not joking, by the way, a lot of people are tweeting in, like, any, like, Salah out, like, Salah to Mane and bank the 3 million, like, blah, blah, blah. And I tweeted back at the general world. Salah's the highest XG, highest non-penalty XG, second highest XA. He's single returned in game week one, double returned game week two away at Palace. Meanwhile, everyone in FPL is asking us, like, thoughts on going Salah-less. I'm just like, what? What is happening? Like, I just I can't wrap my head around it at all. Like, there's not much more he could have possibly done to just auto keep, like, just auto hold. Like, I don't know.
So one just preview for game week five, Liverpool at Spuds, City home to Fulham.
Okay, now we're talking.
That is after the international break, though, so we'll see.
Oh, that makes it so much worse.
Yeah. So transfer, so you did the Alonso. So, I mean, we were talking a little bit behind the scenes before the pod about how few times we've made early transfers. And
yes.
I mean, I used one of my two, but it just felt like with Jota, nothing that would have happened in the world would have changed me getting rid of Jota.
Yes.
And same for
that
you.
That was so a factor.
That was a factor. I mean, that was a big factor. And so we both fired away on Sunday before the price changes. And so I got Pedro in on the straight swap. Very much considered Richarlison. I was looking at doing something like downgrading either Shaw or Sacco to a 4-5 for money to get Richarlison, but in the end, I just didn't feel like the value of spending the extra transfer there plus the downgrade. Like, I didn't think, for first of all, that Richarlison was so much better than Pedro. I thought it was a coin flip. And so I went ahead with that. I'm planning on floating my other transfer. My team looks
And you have no money in the bank, right?
Yeah, and that was, again, I mean, I wouldn't have done it if I had 0.5. If I had 0.5 in the bank, I probably would have gotten Richarlison. If I waited, I would have not been able to do the straight swap. So I just fired it. I just fired it away.
Yeah, I love it. I think Pedro's a great pick.
Yeah, we'll see. And then, yeah, again, I mean, I'm going to probably float. I mean, Juan's out, but my team still looks like it's in okay shape. I'll just start Shaw. He'll get an assist because he always does, and I'll be fine.
He attack and returns every game.
Every game. What about you? So you did Alonso. What was it again?
I did Juan out and Jota out for Alonso and 4-5 mid. I just went to Billing also. He seems like an okay 4-5 pick. He'll always be buried on my bench because I still have Kearney. So whatever. It didn't really matter. But yeah, basically the decision I made was Alonso over every other 6-5 mid and go and transform from sort of a 4-4-2 to a 5-3-2. So I'll be starting 5 defenders every week, which is crazy. 4 of them are left backs in classic Alon fashion, and the other one's Trent.
Yeah, but you're starting Mendy, Rabo, Alonso, Bavis, and Trent. Like, that
is basically 5 midfielders.
I've seen a couple wildcard teams with that back 5.
Yeah, no, it's filthy, disgustingly good. Like, yeah. When it comes down to it, like I was just saying about Alonso, I mean, I don't really have to worry about Mendy, Rabo, or Trent getting cleans. That's happening, and we can all see it with our eyes. The only thing that like would hinge on Alonso being the correct pick over equally priced midfielders, or same with Bavis, would be that the cleans follow. Like, Spurs have no cleans so far. Defenses, and they mostly dominated both games, and they just let up like a stupid goal in both games. But their fixtures aren't very good. They have United, Watford, Liverpool next 3. If they're not picking up cleans and looking solid defensively, I probably should be pivoting off of Bavis, even though his underlying attacking numbers are actually the best in the league, better than Alonso. Alonso, I think, I just talked about Chelsea defense. I think the difference of getting 4 points for a clean versus 1 point for a clean for a midfielder, I think just should swing it in Alonso's favor. Like, his stats are ridiculously good. I mean, most guys that we're talking about have better stats than Richarlison, but must be said Alonso's are also better. And then just factoring the cleans, I think, I don't know. I think it's there. He looks better on bones than he was in the last 2 seasons. And I don't know. I just think, I hope it's the right decision, because I easily could have got Richarlison. And if he keeps scoring, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot. And if Chelsea don't keep cleans in these easy fixtures coming up, I'm going to look like an idiot. But yeah, rolling those 5 out is pretty fucking sexual. I mean, De Gea is the one guy on my team where I'm just like, where the fuck did you come from? But everyone else is pretty good.
Yeah, and you can easily drop him to Ederson soon if that looks on.
Yeah, I can drop De Gea to any goalkeeper in the game. I can drop Bavis to almost any defender in the game. I still have Lucas Moura. I mean, he should still be nailed while Son is out. He played well against Fulham. So that's fine, and he's 7. I could always drop him to Richarlison for free next week if that's, like, you know, still a thing. So I have options. A lot of it hinged on Ozil and just, is he nailed? And the reading of most gooners that I could find, Nate included in that, was that he's probably nailed and he's probably, like, high in Emery's plans, and that's all I needed to hear. Like, I didn't even want to participate in the conversation of, like, is he good and is he going to return? Because I think that's a yes, and I don't think someone could convince me not. But I'm just worried about if he's nailed or not. Because if he wasn't nailed, I would have dealt with that spot and not made the transfers that I made. We talked about it. I was thinking about going like Ozil up to Hazard and dropping Jota to a 4-5 and starting.
I can't wait for Ozil points. He looked so fucking pissed off when he got subbed.
He was like cursing a lot. I think he said like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck off!" Like that's what I remember like reading his lips and seeing it. Yeah, I mean,
we will have the last laugh with the Mantis God. He will bring us to inside heaven.
I pray so hard. Like I'm gonna be fucking glued. That's got to be the TV match at the for the next Saturday. That has to be the best match for TV. Arsenal home, West Ham, little London Derbs.
They'll probably Huddersfield Cardiff. How could they not tell?
Yeah, Southampton, Leicester. Aforementioned Southampton, Leicester up there as well. But yeah, I'm nervous about Ozil. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I'm nervous about Ozil, but I feel pretty decent about my team. 5-3-2. I cannot believe it.
Yeah. No, Ozil's gonna just bring home the milk.
Oh my god, please.
All right, let's get out of here.
Well, let me slap some patron asses. New signups for the week. Patreon.com/FMLPL. Good job by you. Thank you for signing up. We got Andrew King. We got Hank Ruff. Jamie Fenning. Sean Mulhall. Felipe Tran. Faisal Salmon. Samin. Aaron England. Richard Hedberg. Dalton King. Jamie DeGraff. DeGrom. Cyrus Kambata. Love that name. Cyrus Kambata. That's sick. Adam Pritchard, not related to Huddersfield Pritchard, Matthew White, and Zweddy, which is interesting. Interesting name by you. Thanks so much. I slapped that ass, you know. Any final words?
No, I don't know. No.
Check us out at fmlpl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfpl. And cheers.